Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Good to feel the presence of the Lord in this. Truly good to be in the house of the Lord. Sister Tammy is still working on Revelations 13, so I am your fill-in while she's studying that, trying to get it all together. And so it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I feel like I have something encouraging tonight. I want to remind you of our 30-day prayer card, online and in the house of God. We are on week 3 right now, and it's praying that God would bring great and work in His kingdom. Being herewith, saith the Lord of the host. And so you pray Malachi 3:10, if I will not open you a window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. I believe that we need to continue to keep fasting. I know that I'm not telling you, I think we ought to try to continue to fast. I'm not asking you to fast right now, but I am going to ask you, I'm going to come back and ask you to fast with me. There's some things happening in the spirit realm that the Lord is doing, and I believe it's all because of our fasting and praying. Amen. I do believe that we're going to see some shackles and yokes being broke. I don't know. I'm not prophesying in time-wise, but I'm telling you, I see God doing some work. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:7. I want you to also know that, let's remember Sister Spencer, that God would move and intervene. Yeah, Sister Spencer, she had an accident Sunday going home from church. So let's remember her and Daryl. Teresa was in an accident. Sister Teresa was in an accident last week. That's not my sister, but Teresa Camo. Been in and out of the hospital. Haven't heard anything of what really is going on. She did have a neck. Her neck was hurting her, but and her back, I think, her back and neck. So if you just remember her in prayer as well.
While you're saying that, keep my bed,
Bernard.
Tuesday, for surgery to remove that
stone. Okay, if you remember, I put a call out for Bernard. He had a kidney stone. Let's remember him today and this week as we're praying. Yes, Sister Teresa. Okay, so we have a lady that
Garland.
Garland, thank you. Going into surgery for breast cancer this week coming up, so we want to remember her. And let's remember the body of Christ, the church. Amen.
Sharon.
And yes, Sharon Winkler, the lady I went to pray for Monday morning early. I was called to go pray for. She's in hospice. And remember her. Her kidneys she's been on dialysis for about 8 to 10 years, and she just doesn't want to do it no more. So they put her in hospice. And so I went in. Her sister called me and asked me to go pray for her, and I didn't go give her last rites. I went and prayed against death. I prayed healing in her kidney, that God would allow that kidney to come back alive and begin to function in Jesus' name. And so anyway, let's turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:7. Sorry for keeping you standing. I have one scripture. That's all we're going to read, Brother Thompson. Okay, so We do have a report that Sister Teresa is doing better, but she still have an issue. She's on medicine, and so that does hinder her from being in church. Let's keep her. Let's just continue to pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible says, "For we walk by what?
Faith.
And not by
sight."
Say amen.
Amen.
And you may be seated in Jesus' name. I kind of want to encourage you tonight, if I may. This is an opportunity that I thank the Lord that I was given it with, since Sister Reynolds was not able to finish up her lesson on 13. And I'm going to title it, "Nothing, God's Greatest Resource." Nothing, God's Greatest Resource. Someone said I'm a rationalist. And I wanted to say, oh, really? Rationalist, based on reason and knowledge. I'm giving you the definition of this. It's based on a reason and knowledge rather than on religious beliefs or emotional response. A realist does say that and believes things are logical only. They only believe in logical or things that they can see. Things that are obvious are they going to believe. Someone would say, I believe in the natural, but I believe what I can touch and feel by being the natural, right? I believe in this right here, the ground, because it's holding me right now, right? I can believe that this concrete underneath this carpet is sturdy and strong. It's not going to let me down, right? We can believe in, you sit down in that pew, and automatically, without you even wondering, is that pew going to give away? It holds you. We get into a car and we turn the key, expecting that engine to turn on and that car to start and the power steering to work. Right? We put a seatbelt on, believing that the seatbelt's going to save me in an accident.
Right?
We go to the grocery store. We believe that when we put all the groceries on the conveyor belt, and we get all the way down here to the end and we run that card, that the card's going to take care of everything that was on that belt. Right? So I want to talk to you tonight about, nothing but God's greatest resource. Somehow I'm hoping to be able to bring you to that. But we have to understand something. And that is, this is earth. This thing that you are standing on, this thing that seems so concrete to you, this thing that is a rock solid place that we walk on every day, is hanging on nothing. It has no foundation. It has no fixed or attached point. It has nothing in the air. It is balanced on nothing. It sits on nothing. It rests on nothing. It hangs only by the faith of God. It rests upon His word. It sets in the middle of His will. Amen. Hebrews 11:3 says this: through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that thing, that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That does not make sense unless you understand faith. Amen. Faith. Faith is something that you have. God said He's given us a measure of faith. Right? His word tells us we've been given a measure of faith. And that measure of faith, you know, can be to any of us. All of us have it, so we ought to operate in that. Whatever measure of faith that the Lord has given us, we ought to operate in that measure of faith, right? Just starting to look at, just if you go back and you just admire some of the beginning of what God did in the very beginning, will help encourage your faith. It will feed your faith if you begin to go back into the Old Testament and begin to look at how the world was framed and how things were, you know, the stars were spoken into existence. The moon, it stays. Never has the moon and the sun crashed. Right? Understand, God had nothing to work with when he began creating in Genesis 1. All he had was his faith and his word. Amen. What he wanted did not exist. What he wanted to design had never been designed before. He had no blueprint. He had no architect to tell him how to put it together. He had no bank to back him up. He had no advisors. He had no counselors. He had no mentors. He had nobody. It was all God. Amen. And I tell you something else he had. He had nothing when he spoke it. I tell you another thing that he had. He had nowhere to put it. When he put it there, there wasn't nothing there. He just spoke it. And it didn't. And he didn't have to go out there and go, whoops, that one almost fell. Right? When he spoke it, it was under the authority of the Word of God. And so I tell the church tonight, when you start speaking the authoritative Word of God, you have the same power. If you're walking in the anointing and the power of God, you have the same authoritative power to speak things that as if they are in Jesus' name. Amen. When we pray, when I pray for Bernard, I prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let that stone be dissolved without even having to go through anything, right? But you gotta speak the authoritative word. By the power of your word, the authority of your word, I speak. So you know he did. By faith, he spoke it into existence. He made it all out of a bunch of stuff that didn't exist. And he hung all on nothing that we call outer space. And it's still there today, just resting in the same intricate balance of gravitational rotation that he set millennial years ago. God is not a realist. God does not operate in the realm of realism. Practicality is not in his vocabulary. His miraculous works are never attached to something called reality, as you and I know it. Hebrews 11:3 said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you make something out of something that no one can even see? How do you build something without the materials to build it with? How do you create when there is nothing to create with? Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to keep myself contained. When the power of the word, that God begin to speak the power of the word, things just begin to happen. The only thing that he says he made was out of anything was man. And he took from what he had created to make the mud to create man. Amen. I'm telling you, we serve a God that's able. We need to understand that whatever's going on in our family, whatever's going on in our lives, whatever's going on in our bodies, God is able to mend, fix, or heal whatever's going on in Jesus' name. I serve a God that already put this old mud together. Amen. So if there's something wrong with this mud, my God can fix the mud. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that are seen were not made of things that appear. If God had not had faith on the day that he started creating things, nothing would have ever happened. You and I would not even be here today if it had not been for God. Amen. If he hadn't have thought about, man, I need to put on this one I just created. Yeah, just take a moment. Thank you. Think about it. talking about reality. I'm talking about faith. Here was the reality in Genesis 1, 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The word of God said that the earth did not exist. The earth did not exist. It had no form. There was void. It means that it was empty. It was empty. Nothing but darkness. No light anywhere. No hope anywhere. And no possibility anywhere. Just empty darkness. Folks, that sounds like hopeless to me. That sounds like despair to me. That sounds like the last place that anyone would ever want to be or even find anything real happening. Right? So be careful what you call real. What you are calling real could very well be a genuine miracle that God is doing. Right? So you're a realist, right? There's people that are realists. There's not a realist in this room, I don't believe. I believe that as God's people, we have faith. Amen. I want you to know I'm trying to encourage your faith. I know that we have faith. We don't need to see things done just so that we know that God is able. Amen. I already know God is able. Just from testimonies of what God is doing, God is still able. Amen. He's still able to heal. He's still able to save. He's still able to restore broken marriages. He's able to restore families. He's able to mend broken hearts. He's able to heal bodies, physical bodies. In fact, there is not a realist on this planet if they are breathing today. Someone might say, I'm a realist, but the next breath that they take tells the truth about them. They couldn't breathe without the Lord. You see, your chest rises and lowers 12 to 18 times per minute, every minute of the day. It does this because by faith, it believes it is going to receive what it needs to survive for the next 5 more seconds. Amen. Air we breathe is made up of approximately nitrogen, 78%, oxygen, 21%, argon gas, 0.93422%, CO2, 0.03811%, water vapor, about 1%, other, 0.002%. Too much nitrogen and something called nitrogen narcosis, occurs, which is a drunken. So if anything gets out of whack, you can go to sleep. Your brain is not even thinking anymore, but your body is still functioning. Every 15, 18 to 20 or so, you're taking breaths. You're replacing oxygen in your body. And when people tell me that they are atheists or they don't believe in God and they don't believe in creation, there is no way that a molecule that went into the water, crawled out of the water, and is what we are today. We have been made by a wonderful and mighty and awesome God who created us. Amen. We are magnificent miracles. Amen. Listen, this happens when nitrogen gas is not allowed to diffuse out of the body in a very slow, controlled manner. The gas can come out of solution in your blood and results in an extremely damaging, very painful, and possibly fatal condition called the bends. If you've ever been diving, that can happen in diving as well. You can go down, you'll come up too fast, and the air goes into your bloodstream, and you just get the bends. It's like a terrible. You'll be bent over, and they have to put you in decompression chambers and things like that. It's like having many strokes all over everywhere in your body. If a person gets too much oxygen, listen, if he gets too much oxygen, he or she might experience headaches, confusion, nausea, increased sleepiness, even coma or death. So your body only allows you to get enough oxygen so that you don't go into
Come on now. Is that not amazing? You're walking miracles tonight. Can't tell me there isn't any more miracles about to happen. Just you waking up this morning, that your eyes were shut, your mind was asleep, and your body still functioned, your kidneys still pumped, your liver still pumped, your heart still pumped, and you woke up and you were able to see humanity again one more day. Nothing. God's greatest resource. He took nothing and created you. He created the world. He created you and I. It gets better. Watch this. If it was all oxygen, we would not be able to breathe. We have a very small range in which we function. Below about 15%, we are in real trouble, and much over 21%, we will start oxidizing, rusting our cells. Not to mention that oxygen at a certain point is an explosive gas. Too much CO2 or carbon dioxide, and you will experience nerve damage, coma, or death. This equilibrium of gases in the air we breathe, these are all equal. You breathe it in, everything's been put together just right so that you can breathe it. So tell me, when an atheist comes up to you, go, yeah, well, you can think and believe whatever you want to believe. But let me just break it down to you. The only reason that when you go to bed and your mind shuts off and you wake up the next morning because God created you. Right. You can say whatever you want to say, but your mind and your body is not created to breathe on its own. Amen. Only because God created us that way. This precious balance in itself is amazing miracle in our body. The chest pounds on its own. It reaches out. We have to understand that we're reaching out by faith 12 to 18 times every time, every day for a phenomenon. God just keeps the heart beating until it's time for me to go. It steady beats. Sometimes it gets a little faster. Right, but it's still beating until he says, I don't want it to beat no more, or he doesn't, whatever. Right? My lungs reach for a wonder. When I run, I want to inhale more. Because God created the body and the mind so that you knew you needed to get a little more air in your body. This realist, if you will, gasps not for something, that can be seen or touched or heard, but it reaches for a miracle. When you breathe, you're reaching for a miracle. When you run, when the realist runs, he's reaching for a miracle to breathe. They expect that body not to stop working. They take it for granted. We take things for granted. We take waking up every day. We take whether we eat right, not eat right, whether we drink right, whether we don't drink right, and I'm talking about coffee, tea, sodas, right? I'm talking about that kind of eating, drinking, right? We take it for granted. We take it for granted that I'm not going to have a heart attack today, that my heart's not going to explode. We take it for granted that my kidney's going to go ahead and purify everything that I put in and let it go. By faith, the realists don't reach by faith. We reach by faith. By faith, we're reaching for something that only God can provide. Same with the realist. He's reaching for something that only God can provide. I can't provide it. You can't provide it. Only God can provide it. You see, and God blew the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam. This gives new beginning or new meaning to Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I know what you are looking at. It looks bleak and dark sometimes. I know
it looks bad. I know there's much work to be done. Amen. I know that our children are not where we would like to see them. I know, I understand, but faith does not need much to work with. Amen. Faith needs just someone that says, I'm coming to the house of God, and I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm going to pray for my family that they might be saved, that they will be saved, that they'll be out of the clutches of Satan. That's what faith says. When everybody else says, I'm just going to lay in and stay at home. I'm only a Sunday morning, only go to church person. Well, they can lay in bed. They can stay at home. But while the people of faith are stepping out by faith saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to continue to pray for our family. We're going to continue to pray for the sick. I want to see miracles. I want to see signs and wonders. In fact, all God needs from you right now is faith. Hebrews 11, 4 through 5 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, and that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Hebrews 11, 7 through 9, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Verse 8 said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he said, the word of God said, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Give you one more. Hebrews 11, 27, 29, 31. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he entered as seeing him who is invisible. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. Verse 30 said, by faith the walls. Come on now. We're talking about walls that were nine feet tall, 6 feet wide or something. Either I have my dimensions different, but somewhere around there. But the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed, not when she had received the spies with peace. Let me tell you something, church. We need to continue to operate in faith. Amen. We might not see what God is doing. We might not understand what God is doing. We might not even see a visible, small visible sign of what God's doing. But God took nothing and created everything. I'm here to tell you, he can take nothing in us and create great things in us. Many of us have had circumstances which has called us not to hear the word of God, or the voice of God, I should say. I've lived in my circumstances before. I've tried that route. I've looked at my situation and accepted my circumstances. I was going in a direction that I had no idea, but God took something that was nothing and turned it around and made it something. Amen. I've sat with a desk full of bills and no way to pay them. Amen. I've added up the late fees of and the over limit fees of overdrafting and interest and all that got me, and it all got me worried and depressed, and fear and anxiety came up on me. I'm going to throw in this as well. The miracle that's needed in the offering plate is not a miracle that's going to bless the church. It's the miracle that's going to bless you. I pray that everyone here learns sooner than later how kingdom economics work. Yeah. kingdom economics. God, you can't outgive God. There's blessings that come in ways that I just look in wonder at God. I'm like, God, you're amazing. He's amazing. I just pray that you understand. God woke me up 31 years ago and shouted so loud that I nearly jumped out of my skin. I heard his voice as clearly as I'm here right now. I got to tell you, when he was calling me and getting me out of the world that I was in, the kingdom of God is the best investment. People that have walked away from the kingdom of God has just given up the best investment and retirement plan that you could ever have for life. I've looked at my upbringing, and it was good. It was a good one. It had nothing to do with my parents that I became a prodigal son. I considered my education and my career, and it brought me to nothing. I've tried using my intelligence and my strength, and it brought me to nothing. I tried doing it my way, and it got me nothing. In fact, it brought me to a worse condition. But faith, on the other hand, my faith began to turn to him. My faith in his word, everything began to fall towards him. Faith in his purpose for my life. Faith in his promises for me. Now that he's got me somewhere. And even if he took me from this position somewhere else, I'd be okay. Amen. Right? Faith brought me a beautiful wife that I shouldn't have. Faith gave me two beautiful children biologically, and three beautiful children that are not paper adopted, but adopted. Faith blessed my finances. Faith blessed my ministry. Faith has done more in 31 years of my life than all of the 29 years before it. Every breath I breathe is stretched for the miraculous. Every move I make is to reach for the unknown, for what God is going to do. Amen. Some of us here need a miracle in our lives, and I know that. Some of you already know your story. You're looking for the miracle, and I've come to tell you, the miracle is coming in Jesus' name. The miracle is coming in Jesus' name. Some of us here need God to do what we cannot do by ourselves, because if we're a realist, we can't do it. We can't think it. We don't expect it. We don't know how it's going to happen. But you need to say, no, sir, Satan, I need a miracle. Amen. I need a miracle. I need what your eyes can't see. I need what you can't imagine happening anyway. I'm grasping for the unknown. How did my life get so blessed anyway? How did this church get so far in 55 years? I'm going to bring you some history. How did a young congregation with only a couple thousand dollars in the bank buy the property that this church sits on? How did it give us a building that is right now appraised at $1.5 million? The land was only $5,000, $6,000 back in 68. Not probably, I guess it's been 16 or some years since y'all purchased the property next door, which the math, I'd have to have my calculator and do all the math, but it went to $75,000. That if they'd have bought it in 68, we could have gotten it for $12,000, both properties. Right, but what you have now as a church, you have 1.5 or more now in equity. How did that happen? God called a man to come to D.C. and take over home missions work. That's how it happened. By faith, God called him. By faith, he didn't know how they were going to make it. By faith, he didn't know that this church would be here. By faith, he didn't know that he would be buying an acre of land in 68 or 67, whenever he did it. Right? Land was, the land cost $6,000. It's probably $260,000 to $300,000 now if you try to purchase the acre. Right. Because it's labeled commercial. Right. It didn't happen because
we were realists or he was a realist. It happened because he had faith that God said, I'm calling you to the ministry. It happened because we believed God for his providence. The bishop believed in the Lord. The church was constructed. Listen, when this church, I'm just giving you a little history. When this church was constructed and almost complete before Bishop asked for a loan, the banker said to him, you have broken all the rules of asking for a loan. The building was almost finished, and they did not want to give any money to a building that was almost finished because they knew that there would not be any longevity of a return on the loan for them to make money. So the banker told him, you've broken all the rules. My mother told my dad, and they didn't know where the money was going to come. The banker turned them away. My mother said to the bishop or pastor at that time, the Lord will provide. That was faith. That was speaking faith. That wasn't a realist that would go, well, oh boy, we don't have no money. I guess we got to close up shop. We might as well just hang up the towel. Nah, faith said God will provide. Amen. It wasn't but a few days, weeks, something like that. I don't know exact time frame, but God gave them a banker that was willing to give them the money to finish the building so that they could have an occupancy permit and have it dedicated. And I think 74, you can read it all back there on the wall. It's back there, right? But if somebody had not had faith, if somebody had not been able to hear the voice of God and to operate in the moving of the Holy Ghost and commit to the calling of God on their lives, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight. We believe him for his purpose in our lives. It happened because we are reaching for something that's not there just yet. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You're reaching for your family to be saved. You're reaching for it, and it just hadn't happened yet. But it's going to happen. You're reaching for that healing because everybody else said it can't happen. But you need to reach just a little bit further because my God is a healer. You need to understand I serve a God that's able to do all things. He knows all things. He sees all things. He's the greatest physician ever known. We need to let faith operate in us and let God's will and purpose become aligned and watch what happens. Amen. Somebody here needs to get their eyes off their circumstances and begin and get their eyes on the Lord and begin to believe what is about to happen. Amen. I have not probably spoke over everything. I'll go ahead and speak it. I'm going to tell you, it could either be in finances. It could be either in health. It could be in a car. It could be in a marriage. It could be in children lost. It could be in husbands lost. It could be in wives lost. It could be in a new job. In all the 31 years I've been in ministry, I've heard countless people complain that they had too little. They have too little of money, too little of health, too little of time, too little of resources, too little of a house, too little of a car, too little, you name it. They had too little. But I've yet to hear anyone say that they had too much. Right? Nobody said, I got too much. Right? If I was a millionaire, I'd like to say, I got too much. You know, let me just bless you. Right? I bless you too. Let me just throw some cabbage over there because, you know, let me just give you some cabbage. Right? Nobody says they ever got too much. They always have too little. But I've come to tell you, you've got so much if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, man, if you repented of your sins, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, walking in the name of Jesus, walking in the power of the Word, the authority of the Word, and the authority of the Holy Ghost, you are a millionaire. You don't need no money from this world. You don't need no money from nobody else. You don't even need any other physicians, because the physician that you got is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He spoke things into existence. He spoke our lives into existence. He breathed in us. I know I'm supposed to be teaching, but I can't, I just can't contain. Amen. I'm a millionaire with Jesus. I've got so many blessings that it would not have if it wasn't for the Lord. I've never yet heard anybody say, you know, just let up. You don't have to give me any more. Folks, I think we've been living on the wrong end of the spectrum of faith. I think we've been looking at darkness and void far too long. How about we begin to operate on the other end of this thing where faith is creating things out of the stuff that none of us even know exist?
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Right? It
think about it.
I mean, come on. The doctor said, I went to the doctor, you know. I got to go to the heart doctor tomorrow. He didn't like my diet. He said, what do you eat for breakfast? I said, chicken. He said, well, what do you eat for lunch? Chicken. He said, okay, well, God, what do you eat for dinner? Chicken. He said, sir, he said, you eat too much chicken. I said, I don't like anything else. I do eat vegetables. He said, well, you got to eat more vegetables. Let off the chicken. He said, you're eating too much chicken. You got to eat some more fruit. Right? Well, what I'm saying is, I don't even know why I said that, but we got to begin to operate in the things that we don't know are happening, right? I don't know what the doctor's going to say about the heart doctor tomorrow, but I'm operating that I got a good heart right now. Amen? I'm operating that everything's in order. Everything's in the right place. There are no blockages. Amen. I'm just operating in by faith. When I go in, I'm going in by faith. I'm trusting God. Whatever he says, it's in God's hands. God can go in there with his finger right now and just clean it out. Right? But we got to get ourselves aligned with God's purpose, and then let's start speaking the same thing he is speaking, and that is faith. How do I earn my living? By faith. How do I pay my bills? By faith. How do I pay my tithes? By faith. How do I stay out of debt? By faith. How does my ministry reach tens of thousands of people worldwide every week? By faith. Amen. How did this church purchase the trailer school building? I'm speaking by faith. You just hear what I said? We got an acre. We can have classrooms. This church needs school rooms. We've made the church so it can be used now, but it needs Sunday school rooms that can be decorated, that they can stick tacks in, that they can tape stuff on the walls and decorate it for the age group that they're teaching, right? We need training rooms. Of course, we can use the basement as a training room, but I'm speaking by faith. How did we get the trailer, first one? The one trailer classroom, because it was by faith. How do we plan on reaching this community and the communities around it? By faith. Amen. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must. I'm closing right now. Y'all can stand right now. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what?
Rewarder.
Of who?
Diligently.
Do what?
Diligently.
Seek him. A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. The Lord took something that was nothing and made. He don't need anything that we got. I know that's not proper vernacular, but he can do anything. He can do
He can do things without my help. Right? I just got to let you know, he don't need Alan. He got every, if Alan don't want to do it, he got somebody else he's looking at. If Pastor Alan just gives up, he's already looking. Who's the next man? Who's the next woman? Who? I'm already searching. But if there's a whole bunch of people in the house of God that are operating in faith, knowing that this is nothing, and God can use it and make his power to use the resources in me to do what he wants to do, I'm ready for him to use me. Anyway, you know, there's an old song, if you can use anything, you can use me. That's about all I remember. I mean, yeah. But anyway, so I'm just saying, by faith, God can do mighty things. I'm telling you what I envision and what I feel God's given me is he just wanted me to encourage you. There's some things that we all are dealing with, right? I don't know about you. I got to be careful because I don't want to ruin all that we've done in the last 3 weeks. But if you haven't been attacked, then something ain't right. There's been a lot of attacks. You know what I mean? There's been some attacks. That tells me we're on the right track. Amen. I was having trouble at first going, thank you, Jesus. I know y'all don't deal with that. But I was like, you know, come on. Wow. I'm supposed to have power, man. This thing should be going away. This should be happening. This should be that. This shouldn't be happening over here. This should be this. And the Lord was like, I didn't tell you that. You're fasting to get some stuff right in you so that things can happen in the church. I'm not having you do the fast so that you can be victorious on your own ground. You're going to have to battle some things. Amen? So I'm just encouraging you. The word was encouraging to me. I just wanted to encourage you tonight. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. Hopefully those that are online will here, well, you know, Sister Tammy will probably be teaching next week, so they'll have her revelation class. We seem to have a really good changing here, but God is so good. I love you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's pray and ask God to watch over and protect us as we go. Let's remember all the names that have been brought to us that need prayer, right? Sister Terry Marshall. Brought up a neighbor that was to her aunt that's having cancer, an operation. Let's remember the Winkler girl, Sharon Winkler. Let's remember Sister Spence and Daryl. Let's remember
Bernard.
Thank you. Bernard, let's remember. And, you know, Jennifer, she went to the hospital on Sunday. So let's remember Sister Jennifer. And Sister Teresa, I think I got everybody now. Anyway, let's remember them this week coming back here on Sunday that God will have already done a miracle in their lives. Amen. And let's trust the Lord. Let's pray for the church as we missed Sunday night prayer, but I want you to continue to pray for the church because we need more leaders. We need more leaders. Amen. The church needs more leaders. And so we need people that are willing and ready to grow and come on in the trenches with us and fight and work. Amen. Father, we thank you for another evening of just coming together and fellowshipping and being with you and hearing your word. God, I pray faith. Lord, I pray the power of faith by the power of the word that you have spoke, Lord God, the authority of your word and the authority of the Holy Ghost, that it impact us. God, that we are empowered to do your will, to do your work, that, Lord, we are not trodden down, we're not depressed, we're not turning back, we're moving forward, we're going to see victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for the body of Christ that's here tonight and those that are online, that you bless each and every one that came online and that was in the house of the Lord tonight. In Jesus' name, give us safe travel going home. In Jesus' name. Dispatch angels to our sides and those that every name that we've called out before you. We ask for divine healing. We ask that you touch their bodies, their minds, God, their organs in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though there's a name I did not call out, Lord, I pray for that person right now. Be thou healed
In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, and y'all greet one another and have a good evening. Thank you for coming.